Cool Lennon, I'm Black Tomorrow. We are up to the Kuv Beis, Amud Aleph, the Mishnah, 3 lines from the top. So we're talking about bolts on a door or the pivots on a door, and if it's a problem on Shabbos, putting it in, it does it look like you are building or not? And we are now going to learn for the next few Mishnahs that those things which are forbidden midrabbanon, because it looks like you're building or fixing something permanently, so it comes under the umbrella of building. So it's all the rabbanos on Shabbos are called a shavus. You should be resting. It's not within the spirit of resting. So in the Beis Hamikdash, they were far more lenient, and they did not really ban shavusim or Yisurin Rabban in the Beis Hamikdash. We'll see later in the Gemara that the different grades of shavusim. There's a great shavus and a more severe one and a more lenient one. But here in the next few missions, I'm going to draw contrasts between laws, certain laws which you're not permitted to do in the Medina outside of the Beis Hamikdash, and then in the Beis Hamikdash, that we are much more relaxed. And here it's clearly from these missions here that Medina is referring to any part of Israel outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Yet we have a big argument in Gemara Sukkah, in the Rishonim, Rashi and Rambam and others, when it says over there the Medina, if it means anything outside of Beis Hamikdash or it means just outside of Yerushalayim. And so from these Gemaras here, we see clearly that Medina means anywhere outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Maybe we'll talk more about it when we get to Gemara Sukkah. Anyway, says the Gemara, Nagar, so we're talking about a bolt. And remember again, in those days, the doors, the bolts were, they used to, on the top of the door and the bottom of the door, you had a little, like a spigot sticking out or a peg sticking out, and that was the bolt. And they would pin it up to the top of the door and the bottom to the threshold, and that's how they put the door in. So this naga, this bolt that you put into the door and then you'll put into the door frame, hanigra, if it was dragging, it was attached to the door, always attached to the door, but there was a long rope, so it was actually dragging on the floor. And the question is, putting it in on Shabbos, if it was suspended in the air, then we learned before already, by the window. It's like still, you know, part of the door, and it's clearly you're not building anything on Shabbos. But here, it was sitting on the floor. There was a rope there, but it was dragging on the floor. And now, putting it in on Shabbos, does it look like you are building or not? And we're not talking about the case we learned before, that you had a little, you know, thick top, which turned it into a vessel, like a mortar or a pestle. And therefore, the question was whether it's muktzah or not. This is pretty much a normal peg. And the question is, it looked like buildings. So Nagar Nigra was dragging the ground, noilim by the Migdash, in the base of Migdash, you're allowed to close it, it's not a problem. Why? It's only us that are abonon, you're not really building. Why aren't you really building? Because it's still tied with a rope to the door. So you're not creating anything new. But because it's dragging on the floor, it looks like you are building. So therefore, it's only us that are abonon. And in the base of Migdash, there's no shvus, ain't shvus for Migdash. Abalay be Medina, but not outside of the base of Migdash. What about Bahamunach, if it's not tied to the door at all? Then when you put it into the door, your mom is building a Shabbos, even though it's meant to be there, but it was not connected in any way, it was lying on the floor. Then Kan Vikan Osir, makes no difference where it is, it's forbidden because Osir Mehatayla. And that's Binyan. However, Rabbi disagrees. He holds that even in that case, it's not really called Binyan, because since it's made for that and it's there all the time, it just looks like you're building, but it's not really building, and therefore it's only Osir Rabbanon. So he argues, Mutter B'Migdash V'Nigra, he says, that if it's lying on the ground, mutter b'migdash. He says you're allowed to do in the Beis Hamikdash. It's only us in the Rabbanim because it looks like building, and the Beis Hamikdash is not Rabbanim. But v'hanigla, if it's mamish attached to the door, even though it's lying on the ground, then anywhere it doesn't look like building. Even b'medina, even outside the Beis Hamikdash, you're allowed to put it back on Shabbos. So the Rabbanim, we learn, eizav hanaga, what's considered a bolt hanigla that's dragging on the floor, shenoy l'migdash, and you're allowed to use it and close it up in the Beis Hamikdash, which is what our Mishnah said. I would like Medina, but not outside in the countryside. And the rule is as follows: Kol shetosher, kosher. If it's tied, v'toli, and it's tied and it's hanging, v'roishe echem nagilados, and part of it is reaching the ground. It's only asur rabbanon. It looks like you're building, and therefore in mikdash and mutter, everywhere else is forbidden. However, Rabbi disagrees. He says, "Zeh, if it's attached to the door, even though it's touching the ground, then after Medina mutter." That even in the Medina is permitted. Why? Since it's attached and to the door, it's totally permitted. So it doesn't look like building at all. So he holds nigra is permitted even in Medina, because it doesn't even look like building if it's attached to the door. But what? Eleazar naga shenoy lemin Medina. So what kind of a bolt is it that is permitted in the Medina and forbidden in the rest of the country? Kosher einoy like kosher. It's not attached. The Torah is not hanging. It's not attached or anything or hanging on the door. It's sitting there on the floor. If it's sitting on the floor, then he says it looks like building, so everywhere else is forbidden to put that into the door, but in the Midrash is permitted. So what do you do? V'shemta, you take it off, u'manicha b'keren zavaz, you leave it in the corner, you don't touch it, for the rest of the nation. Amar Rav Yehuda, the rest of the country. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha, halacha, Rav Yehuda, b'nigla. Halacha, Rav Yehuda, when it comes to dragging, and if it's dragging on the floor, if it's attached, that is permitted everywhere. But regarding the other din, if it's lying on the ground, not attached at all, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not really building, even the base, even then, it's permitted base of midrash, that we don't paskin like him. Because we hold, if it's not attached to the door, that is really building on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. Because we learned on Shabbos, even the smallest building is already considered chayiv, it's a malach on the Torah. And a malach on the Torah is not permitted in the base of midrash, only karbonas, things which are necessary, and nothing else. Because we have special psukim for that. Says the Gemara, "Look, Rabbi Yehuda, only when it comes to nigger." Amar Rava says, "Rava, and even then, who's your kosher bedel is only if it's tied to the door." In other words, when we say that it's tied, only when we say it's tied, but it's sitting on the floor, but as long as it's tied, it has to be tied to the door, not to the door frame. Because if it's tied to the door, then it's clearly part of the door. Amar Rava says, "Rava, who's your kosher bedel tied to the door?" And he says, "Not so, but Rab Tavla ikla once came to Mechuz Mechuzah because he saw the Hudavet Toli be ibra the door. He saw that it was attached to the door frame. Lo Amalim, he didn't say anything, and he let them put it back on the door." So he answered, there's two kinds of ropes. Ahu nitl be'igdahave. There the rope was a strong rope, and therefore if you pick up the rope, you could have picked up the heavy peg, the heavy bolt. So then, even though it's attached only to the door frame, it's clear you're not building anything new, because it was attached, it was considered part of the door frame. Rav is talking about a case where you have a thin string. You pick up the bolt or the string, the bolt is heavy, the string is going to rip. So then, the only time it's considered attached if it's attached to the door itself. Otherwise, it doesn't look like it's part of it looks like you're building a Shabbos. Rabbi, you have an equal in the door. What came to the door? Chazi saw a person that we call Kotter. He was tying the gummy. He was tying the bolt to the door with gummy, with like reeds, which is not very strong. Ahmad, he says, Dane, in this particular case, is Layitu, he shouldn't close the door. It's not considered tied at all. It's as if it's totally detached. The gummy has no strength whatsoever. Boy, there's a question. What about a case of nikmiz ma'u? What about a case where you put the bolt through the door and it goes through, not only does it touch the top of the threshold. I mean, the way a bolt works is part of it, you put part of it into, there's a hole in the door, there's a hole in the threshold. You put part of it in the door and part of it in the threshold, and the door pivots around that particular bolt. And that's how it works. But what happens if the bolt goes all the way through the threshold, straight through to the ground? In other words, it's a long bolt, and the hole in the threshold is deep and goes straight to the ground, which means you're really, it's much more permanent. You're attaching it to the ground. Because heretofore we were talking about that the threshold is high and it's only, an inch or 2 inches to the threshold. But here it's going all the way to the ground. Is that considered building or not? He said here, boy, I've said a nikmah now was a minimum. He said, Mike, boy, there was a question. Didn't you hear at the time you learned? Nishmah. If the string, let's say, ripped open, that was you attached to the door, and the string ripped apart, so now we're just sitting there, when you open the door, it's just sitting there. So he says here, awesome, you now put it back together. But nikmiz, but if it was only nikmiz, mutter, it is permitted, it went all the way to the ground, you're allowed to use it. However, Yehuda says, nikmiz, he's very strict in this case, he says, and if it was nikmiz, goes all the way through to the ground, afa pisha eni nishmiz, even though it's not totally detached from the door, usher is forbidden, because it looks like you're building. And the Amar of Yehuda, Mishmah, Allah, Yehuda, the Benikman, Allah, again, the time I was reading the Bible, Mishmah, the Merzik, it's such a long bolt, and it goes straight through, all the way through the threshold, to the floor, to the ground itself, then that's like a permanent building, and that's usher. Let's say for this particular bolt, you made a handle. Now, what's it in? By making a handle means you turned it into a utensil. You can use it now as a pestle to crush things with, because you have a handle to put your hand in it. So the question is, what's it in then? I said to him, on the lay, he said, "Buch the kam." You're talking about a pestle, of course, then you're allowed to. Why? Because it's a keli. There was a beam. The Havi Beit HaPadah that was in the house of HaPadah, Havi Madl Be'asar, was so heavy, he needed 10 people to carry it. He showed the Le'adosh and he allowed them to put it at night on the doorway. The Lama Lamid didn't say anything. Why? Omar, he said, Toidus Kliola, even though this beam is very heavy, you need 10 people to carry it, but because it's also used as a chair, could be used as a chair, it's really a keli. And therefore, it's a mokti, I'll put it up there. Ahi asis. So there was this mortar. There was this mortar, as Rashi says, mortar. The Havi Bei Mashmul, that was an issue of Mashmul, the house of Mashmul, the Machzekes, it was so large that it can hold, Adricha, it can hold 15 sah, a half of a quart. Shudder Mashmul, so I permitted the Mishnah Eshdash to place it by the door. On my Titus Kleela, it's not Muktzeh because it has the status of a Kaini, and because it has the status of a Kaini, therefore it's not Muktzeh, not corrupted. Shalom Rav Chazal Amram, Rabbi Cheskel asked Rav Amram, sent him a question. So we're going to talk about different dinim to do with oil, which we already had a few times before, and we're going to continue. So Rabbi Cheskel sent a letter to Rav Amram. Name of the man, Mahali Mi Ma'aliyasa, tell us a couple of good things that Amram learned that you say, Mashmeid Ravasi, the name of Ravasi, when it comes to Kipi, the Arba, when it comes to on a ship, so they have different, wires going across from one side of the ship to the other side of the ship, which makes it, you want to put in the sails there, you want to put a protective roof, if you need to, if it's too hot, the sun is scorching, or if it's too windy, you want to cover it. So right now, all you have is a frame. So you have this kipi de arba, so these are like, they're rounded, like U-shaped, like an arch, a number of them, the length of the boat. So these kipi de arba, the question is, you want to cover it on Shabbos or not? This man, she has behen tefach. If you already have, a tefach, then that the thickness or the width of each of these arches is a tefach, then it's already an oil in its own way. Because if it's less than tefach, then these bands that go across the ship are not considered an oil in its own right. But if it's a tefach wide, it's already considered an oil. And therefore, all you're doing is, if you're putting a material on top of it, or the top end or something, it's just all you're doing is extending an existing roof. Even though merely the tefach now was going to be 30 feet, it doesn't matter. Inamior, ain't ben tefach, no tefach, but ain't ben zel zel shleisha, is less than 50 feet apart from each one, then it's all right. Lamocha, then on Shabbos, maybe machzel is going to be a mat, cover. My time of why? Moisiv al oil out of here. All you're doing is extending or adding to an oil out of it. Shabbos is all right. Hanidiki with his rams, the Havilavuna, the Mimamba, during the day by Tula, they needed shade, it was too hot. Ubalal night, they needed to remove the cover by me, they wanted the air. Also, the Kamadarak of Ram, that's not how to do it on Shabbos. Amalei said, Zil Kara Budya, go ahead and roll over there, a mat or something. So you already have something prepared. And Vishaya Batefah, make sure that part of it is unfurled. This is like you do a cover on the sukkah, you want to use it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You always leave a tefach of it unfurled, so you already have a part, a roof or an oil. And the moch on the following day, pashta umaysiv al ol ayhu. All you're doing is, if you unfurl it all the way, all you're doing is adding to an existing roof. And remember, the key word here is that's temporary. Vishapad, I mean, that's all right. If you have an existing temporary roof, you'll have to extend it further. Omar Rav says, Ram, Meshum Reb Chiyah, Vilan, if you have a curtain. If you have a curtain, mutil in that taisa, you're allowed to spread it out. Mutil, you're allowed to dismantle it with Shabbos on Shabbos. You're allowed to take it off and on. Why? We're not talking about a roof here, we're talking about a wall. And a wall, you're allowed to do that. A temporary wall, which is made mainly for tznius, for privacy, you're allowed to put that up on Shabbos. What about kilas chsanim? If you have, let's say, by a chassan's bed, a couple's bed, you have there like draping over the bed, you have these like a canopy. So instead of being horizontal, just the entire width and length of the bed in the horizontal, they would have a lot of times like a teepee, it would slope downwards, like a tent. Mutal lefarkon atayse b'shabbos. You let it dismantle it, you let it erect it on Shabbos. Why? Because you're not rebuilding anything. And the Gemara now puts some conditions on it. So the Gemara, Omer, that's what we're talking about, that it's less than a tefach, that the roof, so therefore you didn't create a roof on Shabbos. Avol yesh begaga tefach also, but if, let's say, horizontally, there's a tefach there, then you just built a roof on Shabbos. You know, I'll do that, even though it's temporary. And even if it's less than tefach, even though on top there's no tefach, but as it widens, you know, because it slopes downwards, if within the first three tefachim of the top, there's a tefach of space between the two sides, then remember we learned before the first three tefachim is considered part of the top, and now you have a tefach, as if you erected a roof, you construct a roof on Shabbos, you can't do that. Also, but if there is with a tefach within three, it is forbidden. Because as if you built there a temporary roof. When we say that if there's a tefach, that there's a problem, right? If it does not have a tefach within three tefachim, we said before it's not a problem because you don't have a roof. Nam lam and Ella is only talking about she'ein b'shipua tefach, that you don't have a tefach underneath the shipua, right opposite. That it doesn't widen more than a tefach. Avol yesh b'shipua tefach, but if it has under the shipua, under the slope, it has horizontally. And if you have between let's say the bottom and the top a tefach, a space, if it's less than a tefach, then there's some people who hold that shipui oilim is oilim, but we don't just look if it's a horizontal, even if it's on a slope. If the slope is not that steep, we consider it as if it's horizontal and it is also. If the slope does not come down too much, too strong of an angle, so then we treat it as if it's horizontal, and we'll say that it's considered oil. There's one opinion that says that this is a Gonga opinion, Rav Elazar, that says that a shipui oil is oil, but even a slope on the oil, if it's not too steep, is considered a roof as well, as if it's horizontal, and it's forbidden. And we had this Gemara Shabbos. If you have a hat made out of material called felt, it is you're allowed to wear that on Shabbos. You're allowed to wear a Shabbos. You're allowed to put the hat on your head on Shabbos. But Tani will also not allowed to. What's going on? Like Kasha, how the isba tefach? If the visor is a tefach, then it is forbidden. And how the lesbe tefach? The visor is less than tefach, is permitted. So we're learning that a tefach is like you just have a roof. It's a flat visor. If you have wearing a cap with a visor that's sticking out a tefach from your head to protect you from the sun, the wind, the elements, it's like you create yourself a roof and it's forbidden on Shabbos. Says the Gemara Miatir, so sharvi beglimei tefach. If you wrap yourself, let's say, with a talus around your head and you stick it, it sticks out in front of your head by a tefach. So you just made yourself a roof. Hachinam it also forbidden. No, this is how we learn. Hod the medik if it's tight, hod the loy medik is not tight. Big machleik is Rashi and Rabbein Chalal Halam Shat. Rashi learns, we forget the whole thing about the visor of a hat that's considered an oil, but rather what we're talking about is that we're scared the hat will fall off your head and you can pick it up on Shabbos. So if it's tight on your head, then we're not worried it'll fall off your head and you'll carry it on Shabbos. And the way Rashi learns tight means that you tied it down with some kind of a rope around your neck. But if not, they were scared your hat will fall off your head and you will pick it up. And you will pick it up on Shabbos. Right? I guess so that's the difference, if you're wearing a tight hat or not. So according to Rashi Pshat, you have to wonder about all the hats we're wearing on Shabbos. But Tesel is a whole different Pshat. And that is, tight means if the visor is very tough and it's a straight visor and it's very tough, it's not malleable at all, then it's like an oil. But if it's a softer kind of it's not a straight line, it's not totally straight, or a softer kind of fabric, then even though the visor might be sticking out of tefach, it's not considered an oil in a lot of ways with the hat and shabbat. Mishnah. Marzidin, you can return tzir hatachin. You can return the tzir, again, this is the bolt, or that... that you on the bottom of the door, you can return the bottom of the one that's on the bottom of the door. The migdash is the base of migdash. We're talking about the door. The way we're learning Kodesh Rashi now, we're not talking about the door of a house. We're talking about the door of a box or something. We're talking about a keli, a vessel, a utensil that has a door, and and the door opens on the side, And so you have the the pivot on top and the pivot on the bottom. As long as the pivot on top is attached, the door more or less is attached anyway into the door. So then it's very easy to put the door, the pivot on the bottom. So there's no building whatsoever. So therefore the Mikdash, remember we said only Asur Drabon, it looks like building, so the Mikdash is permitted. Have a labor medina, but not outside the base of the Mikdash, because we are worried that maybe you're going to bang it in, this pivot, you're going to bang into the door, which is, you know, looks like binyan, which is only Asur Midrabon, because there's no real binyan in Kalim. But if the top one fell out, then Kanvik can also, then putting it back in is Mamas building on Shabbos. And even though it's a Keli, we had a Machlekes, it was Binyan by Kalim or not. And here, they're going to hold this Binyan by Kalim, and therefore it is forbidden. Tesis, however, holds that even the top one is only Asim Adurabonim. So if it's because there's no binyan by kelim at all. So if it's also with Rabbanon, how come Yehuda, how come over here it's forbidden in the base and mikdash, the top one? And the reason is because I told you before there's different degrees of shvusim, and this is a much bigger, greater shvus, the top one. And there are a number of other shvusim we now do in the base and mikdash, you know, to do with the shochet lechem apanim and so on. So the ash shvusim that are forbidden in the base and mikdash, it just depends on the degree of the severity. Rabbi Yehuda says, Elyain in the Migdash. Elyain you're allowed to put back in the base of Migdash, but not in the rest of the nation. But Batachim, when you want to put the bottom one back, Medina, even Medina is permitted, because the hole doesn't look like building at all. Turn around, we learn. See the Delis, that pivot of a door, of a shader, table, middle, these different kinds of boxes. But Migdash, the base of Migdash, Magazine, you could put it back. You can put it back. So in the base of Mikdash, you would use it for storage. You keep salt in there or other things in there or the incense in there, and they kept it there. So you're allowed to put it back in the base of Mikdash. So there's some Drabbanan, there's no Eastern Drabbanan Mikdash. But Medina, when it comes to Medina, if part of it is sticking out but part of it is still attached, you're allowed to put it back in. But Elyain, you're allowed to put back the Elyain and the top one, but if we're talking about the top pivot, Kan, we can lo yachzer, the top one you shouldn't put back at all. Why? Because it's like building. Gzeida shema yitaka, because you might bang it in, and when you bang it in, that's a malacha from the Torah. And here we're talking about, we're not talking about, we're not talking about base and major. We're talking about over here now back to the one on the bottom, which is only us in Medina, and therefore we're scared that you might bang it in. Because we didn't talk, if you did bang it in, chayv chatas. Shall boy, we shall dus, we shall yitzir. What about these different kinds of kind of pits? Then lo yachzim, you should not, the door of a boy or a dus or yitzir, different shapes of pits. Lo yachzim, put it back. You have to put it back, chayv chatas. Here you chayv achatas, but here it's attached to the ground, it's a pit lying on the ground, and if you put it back in, then that's mamish binyan, and that is forbidden. Okay, so if it's not a binyan, that's like kalis or mamish forbidden. Okay. Then the Mishnah continues, if you have some kind of a band-aid, and what basically has nothing to do with Ervin now, we're just talking about differences between what's permitted in the Beis HaMikdash and forbidden everywhere else. So we're talking about here, machzidin, let's say you have a band-aid on Shabbos. Machzidin, and the problem with the band-aid is if you have some kind of a thing on it, is you're not allowed to smear on Shabbos. You know, because smearing on Shabbos is one of the three namalachim machik smoothing. You're not allowed to smooth on Shabbos. If you already had a band-aid previously with some kind of a medicine on it, some kind of a dressing on it, it's machzidin, you're allowed to return it. The migdash, in the base of migdash, you're allowed to return it. Let's say the Kohen has some kind of wound on his hand and he put a bandage Friday afternoon and now he has to do work in Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Now the din is he cannot work with a bandage because that is a chatzitza. So he had to remove the bandage from his hand, did his work, whatever it was, and then and he wants to put it back on. He allowed to put it back on the base of the Midrash, because if he won't allow him to put it back on, he would never take it off in the first place. And he won't do the Avodah, because now the Avodah without a bandage and he's wounded. He doesn't want to remove the bandage. And so therefore, we allowed the Kohen to remove the band-aid and to put it back on in order to make sure that he doesn't avoid it. So you got to put it back up a little bit here, but not in the rest of your line. Why not in the rest of the Yisro? You're worried that you might then go ahead and smooth out whatever paste you have there, or ointment you have there, for medicinal purposes. But if you have chila, want to put it, here we're talking about returning it, putting your bandage back on. But in betchila, let's say we're not tired on Friday. And then, so therefore there's no problem with chatzitz or anything else. And you want to put it on the Shabbos, then kan v'kan osir. It's forbidden everywhere. Now why should we forbid the base of Migdash? We said he's smoothing the Rabbanon. There's only the Rabbanon looks like you're smoothing. L'chayda, why should it be osir? It should be osir is because he doesn't need it. When do we say that there's no shvus in the base of Migdash? When you need to do a work in the base of Migdash for the sake of the base of Migdash, so we made things easier. But here you're doing for your own purpose. And for your own purpose, therefore, there's no reason for us to allow. Talabami learned, by the way, we learned the Mishnah the way Rashi learned, but not everyone learns it. The Rambam learns we're actually talking about a wound on an animal on Shabbos, a carbon. And it's a temporary mum. You want to get rid of that mum. And that's what we're talking about here. But we're learning Rashi, which learned that the wound is on the Kohen himself. Talabami learned, let's say a bandage that fell off from somebody's wound on Shabbos is machzir in the Shabbos. If it fell off, no, it fell off, you didn't take it off, then you're allowed to return to Shabbos because so uncommon the Rabbanu wouldn't beizer. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it fell down, if it slipped away, you know, it's still attached to your hand, but it slipped away and fell below a little bit, you're allowed to push back up. The mile, if it went up a little bit, you can push it back down. Let's say you want to clean out the wound. You can't remove the total band-aid, you can't put it back on. So remove a little bit of the band-aid, but the rest is still attached and clean out. And you clean out part of the wound. And then you go ahead and you reveal another part. And you clean. But the band-aid itself don't clean. Don't clean the band-aid itself, because what you're doing is you're smoothing out the band-aid and the dressing that's on it. And meruach comes under the melacha of memachik, smoothing out. And remirde chayv chattis, you're actually chayv chattis. So don't smooth anything out on the band-aid itself. Rabbi Yehuda, that you shouldn't put it back on, but if it's part of it still on, it's alright. When do we say that you're not allowed to put it back on if it fell on top of you're allowed to put it back on, even those who say you're allowed to put it back on if it fell on top of it fell somewhere temporary, it fell on top of a utensil. It fell on the ground, then when you put it back on, it looks like you're putting it on for the first time, but David Hakalos, there's no argument at all. Everyone agrees it's us. Amar Ravashi Abakin, I'm one standing Kabi Abba. I was one standing before my father. You don't find very often Ravashi talks about his father. I was one standing before my father, Kabi Abba, it fell from his hand, the band-aid, and it fell on his pillow, the Kamahad, and he put it back. Aminulah said to him, don't you agree with Hodom Rav Shechidah, Machlekes, Shepir Shagabe Kli, the whole Machlekes only fell on a Kli, it fell on some kind of utensil. And even so, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says it's forbidden. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be attached to the hand, and we said Allah to Rabbi Yehuda. So now that it fell on the pillow, like it fell on the utensil, how can you put it back? Allah Pishu Gabe Karasa. And Bamashma Allah Rabbi Yehuda, Allah like Rabbi Yehuda. So Lachayda, that since Allah Rabbi Yehuda said that if it fell down anywhere, you cannot put it back on. How did you, father, put it back on? Amalei, he said to him, Lashmili, I didn't hear it. What do you mean I didn't hear Rav Chizda? Klemalei, severely, I don't agree with what Rav Chizda said. Obviously, Ravashi's father was an Amoida and he can argue. It's interesting, you would find very, in fact, I can't remember where else we talk about his father. Ravashi's father. Says the Mishnah, continuing drawing contrasts between what we can do at home and what we can do in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, we have to play with musical instruments and string instruments and the harp and so on. And what happens if one of the strings in the bow, talk? What do you do? So these are called machshirei mitzvah. These are things that you use to prepare for a mitzvah. And we had a machlekes of machshirei mitzvah as Deiche Shabbos, and we had also within that a machlekes, if something could have been prepared before Shabbos, can you still do it on Shabbos? Or maybe machshirim are permitted only if you had no choice, but not if they could have been done at the Shabbos, and so on. So, if it ripped on Shabbos, you cannot say, oh, you could have done that on Shabbos. It didn't rip yesterday. Why would I have done it on Shabbos? So he says over here, Koishin Nimimidlish, you'll have to tie together this this spring. If it ripped open on Shabbos, you'll have to tie it together. Medina. Now that sounds like, at the moment, it sounds like it's only Asa de Rabbonim, and therefore be it permitted to do in the base of Migdash, but not to do it at home. But if Chatchila want to go ahead, it didn't rip on Shabbos. You just putting together an instrument on Shabbos. You could have done it on Friday. Then, for sure, Kanve Kan also, even the Reis Midrash forbidden, we don't permit it. Says the Gemara, let's analyze this. What I mean, we'll ask you a question. We learned Nimas Kina, the string of a harp. Shen Nifsika, if the string of a harp, let's say, ripped open on Shabbos, Lohoya Koisher, they wouldn't make a knot. Ella, what did they do? They made a bow. So we had in the Gemara and Shabbos an argument between Abelezer and Rabbanan regarding, you know, taking the bris mila knife, because that's machshirim mitzvah. If you're allowed to chop wood and for certain activities, or you're allowed to prepare the knife for the bris mila. So this is not the actual directly the mitzvah, this is the preparation of the mitzvah. Is that doicha Shabbos? And so a carbon is the mitzvah that pushes away Shabbos, and the musical instrument is only to support the carbon. So that's called machshirim. It's a machshirim. It enhances the mitzvah. So the question is, it says there that you're allowed to, what do you call it? You don't make a knot, which is asa matoida, you make a bow. You're only permitted to make a bow. And our Mishnah says, ilchayda makes no conditions. It says koishin, which sounds like you're allowed to even make a knot. What's going on here? Loi kasha, not a problem. Ha rabbonon, ha rabbelezer. Rabbonon hold you not allowed, since it's only machshiri mitzvah, it's not doiche Shabbos, so therefore all you can make is a bow. Al mishra rabbelezer hold that machshiri mitzvah doiche Shabbos, you can even make a knot. Says the Gemara, if it's rabbelezer, if our mishra, the author of our mishra rabbelezer, doesn't make sense. Because according to rabbelezer, even the chatchila you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Why does the mishra say only if the string ripped on Shabbos? But rabbelezer don't machshiri mitzvah doiche Shabbos. So first thing more explains. Rabbi Lezer holds the machshir mitzvah derech Shabbos kosher. You're allowed to even our mishnah Rabbi Lezer, and therefore you can make a knot, which is also matayda, but machshir mitzvah pushes away Shabbos. The rabbon and the amri ain't derech, does not push away Shabbos, and only what you do is you make a bow. Says the Gemara, if it's Rabbi Lezer, why only if it ripped on Shabbos? He holds you're allowed to make kol lechatchil on Shabbos, even though you could have made the kol on Friday. So according to him, lechatchil our mishnah can't be Rabbi Lezer. Says Gemara, you're right. El lekasher, it's not a problem. Remember, we had a machlekes that Rabbi Yehuda holds that even a bow is usher on a matar on Shabbos. A bow is just like a knot, and therefore it goes as follows: Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no difference of bow or a knot. So therefore, he says you're allowed to even make a knot in Shabbos. He holds matar, you know, like a knot, you know, make a bow. So therefore, if he allows you to make a bow automatically has to allow you to make a knot. Why are you allowed to do it on Shabbos? Must be because machshirim mitzvah is doiche Shabbos. Especially if you had no choice. And ha rabbanon, the brayis says the rabbanon who say, no, there's a big difference between a knot and a bow, and therefore, the rabbanon say, let's make the bow, because since you have a braid, you have no right to be mechal Shabbos, because you can take the lesser of the two evils. Don't do the east of the third, the east of the rabbanon. Saying, what of Rabbi Yehuda? So this Rabbi Yehuda, you tell me the author of our mission, Rabbi Yehuda, said that a bow and a knot are the same thing they hold on Shabbos, and why? Machshir madoich Shabbos. But what does he hold? Machshir madoich Shabbos only when you have no choice, or even if you have a choice. Is the man who does he follow? If he's following Rabbi Lezer, hold that even if he could have done a Friday, he'll have to do on Shabbos. So why does the mission say only if the string tore? So why is he telling me? Because remember, Rabbi Lezer is the one who holds the machshir nadeicha, and Rabbi Lezer who holds machshir nadeicha holds it makes no difference. You could have done it Friday or not. So why should our mishnah make a difference whether it ripped on Shabbos or whether it happened on Friday? So who's the author of our mishnah? El lekash that problem that harab shimon harabbanon. This is Rab Shimon and this is Rabbanon. That means that Rab Shimon holds like Rabbi Lezer in one respect that machshir nadeicha Shabbos, but only when. And you couldn't have done it on Friday. And because Rav Shimon holds, if you could have done it on Friday, I won't agree with Rabbi Lezer, and I will not allow you to do that on Shabbos. Therefore, the Chatchila on Shabbos, you can't do it. But if it's open, you ripped open on Shabbos, he can. So the Gemara says, it's Reb Shimon. Tanya, how do we know that? Because Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, no, Tanya's opinion that says the Machshim Adech HaShabbos was only limited to if you had no choice. We learned, let's say, Ben Levi, a member of the tribe of Levi Shniskel, and Nima Bekinna, let's say one of the springs ripped Koishra, he can make a, he makes a knot. Reb Shimon, I mean, Reb Shimon says, only you make a bow. Reb Shimon Elozer, I mean, af hi eina mashmas es hakol. Reb Shimon says, Melozer says, that if you make a bow, even if you make a knot, you won't have the same sound. It's not the same thing as having a brand new string. Ellis, what you do, have a complete string, this is what you do. Mishal shlomel mata, you somehow or another lower it from below. You have, let's say, every string has some extra string. So you therefore, you take some of that string that's tied on the bottom, and you unwind it, and you bring schlep it up to the top. And then you tie it around the top one. You take some extra string from the top to the bottom, and you tie it down to the bottom. And this is l'chayri, and I'll do it on Shabbos. But nevertheless, it brings the musical instrument back to its full capacity, and that's how you should do it. So therefore, we'll say here that our Mishnah that says on Shabbos you can only do it for broken Shabbos, but you could, but if you couldn't on Friday. It couldn't have done it. So therefore, our Mishnah follows the Rabbanon. We say that you can tie it, if Nifzika Le'nima, you can tie it. So our Mishnah is Rabbanon. And the Braisa is Rav Shimon. And the Braisa that says that you make a bow rather than a knot is Rav Shimon. And our Braisa follows Rav Shimon. And our Mishnah is the Rabbanon who make a distinction between, because it's clear Braisa here, only if a broken Shabbos, not if it happened before Shabbos. Another answer is everything Mishnah and the Braisa, both the Rabbanon and the Mishnah says you can make a knot, and the Braisa says you can only make a bow. Well, like Kasha, it's not a problem. Kan be'emtza, in the Mishnah is talking about if it broke in the middle of the string, and therefore in order to make it work you have to make a proper knot. Kan min atzad, if it tore, let's say, over in the bottom there, even a bow will achieve the same thing, and therefore once you can achieve the same with a bow, we'd rather you make a bow, which is Asa Rabbanon, than make a knot, which is Asa Ma'atayla. And the effect is not so dramatic anyway. Another answer is, they're both talking about in the middle. And what do you call it? The Mishnah goes according to the Rabbanon who say that even if you're allowed to push, you know, machshirim are permitted on Shabbos, as long as you couldn't have done it Friday. And the Braise is Rav Shimon. But Masav, Rav Shimon holds, Rav Shimon holds Gazina, we are Gazer. If we can allow you to make a regular knot and not make some kind of a shini with a bow, then people will start making knots generally. And the other one says, Le Gazina, we are not Gazer. For the Braisa that says that they wouldn't make a knot, they will make a bow, that really, Mahatayri could have done it, he could have made a knot. If you had no choice on Friday, Rav Shimon is made, he could have made a knot. But he's worried that that only works, that if it's, in other words, well, you need the knot, because in the middle you need a knot. The problem is, if it would have ripped on the bottom, you don't really need a knot at all. So therefore, if we're going to allow you to make a knot, if the string rips in the middle, Rav Shimon was worried that next time you can make a knot when the string's in the bottom. And therefore he says, no knot, just make a bow. And the Rabbanon said, we're not worried at all, and therefore Rabbanon allowed them to make a knot, because Machshiri, they both agree that Machshiri Madreich is Shabbos when you have no choice, and here you have no choice. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll continue tomorrow.